And now for our worship today, I invite you to join me in the reading of Matthew chapter 25. Our text, the Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 25. And isn't it a grand and glorious thing that we can have the Word of God? I'd like to see all the Bibles that are here this morning. Raise them up real high. Hold them up. Isn't that wonderful? This is a Bible church. Thank you. I'm glad that you have your Bible with you today. Matthew chapter 25. I am going to begin to read at verse 1 after we pause in a moment of prayer. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giver of every good and perfect gift, maker of all mankind, redeemer of all lost humanity, thou hast met with us and we know it, for we have felt thy presence in this service. And it is our prayer that as thy word shall be read and as we shall expound upon the truth in the preaching of thy word, that thou wouldst help us to bear in mind that thou hast chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the things that are wise. That in thy wise providence thou hast chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It is our prayer that as we shall proclaim the unsearchable riches of thy marvelous grace, that we might feel it and know it and experience it today. And dear God, for those who may be depending upon something else, for those who may be banking upon their church membership, for those who may be depending upon baptism, for those who may be depending upon having been reared within the Christian framework, for those who are trusting any other thing or person, may they learn today that there is but one way to heaven, and that is through the shed blood of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross. May we embrace him today as our Savior, as our Lord and Master, and as thy very Son. In his name we ask it, and for his sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Matthew 25, verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The story that I have read to you from the annals of sacred history comes to us from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, thus signifying that these are words of sober and sublime truth. It is one of the most arresting passages of Scripture in the entire Bible. I pray God that it might arrest by the Holy Spirit every heart of every person here. It is arresting because it has such a dramatic setting. It is one of the many passages in the New Testament that set forth the conditions in the end time prior to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not least among the elements within this story that make it so dramatic is the time element. It was at midnight when the cry was made. Strange things happen at midnight. I read in the Bible in Acts chapter 16 that at midnight Paul and Silas had a prayer meeting. And so great was the power of that prayer meeting that the jail in which they were held hostage and captive because of their stand for Christ, through an earthquake, had its doors opened and they were released. This is a midnight story. I like to call it Festival at Midnight. And in this festive moment of the Festival at Midnight, there are three things that I want to direct your attention to. Three simple but sublime thoughts. Number one, there was in this festival of at midnight a midnight crowd. Two, there was a midnight cry. And three, there was a midnight coming. Let us then notice first the midnight crowd. Verse 1 describes this midnight crowd as being made up of 10 people. 10 virgins who took their lamps to go forth to meet the bridegroom. Now, this crowd was made up of 5 who were wise and 5 who were foolish. Notice the percentage. That's 50% wise, 50% foolish. I believe that Jesus intended with this story to describe the masses of typical Christianity or Christendom today that is made up of people who are wise and people who are foolish. For the whole spectrum of Christianity, so called today, is composed of people who are saved and people who are lost. The church today is made up of people who are saved and who are lost. Now let us have it straight from the beginning. Just because a man's name is upon the church roll doesn't mean that he is a Christian. It doesn't mean that he is saved. It doesn't mean that he's ready to go with the bridegroom when he comes. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The masses of Christendom today, 5 wise, 5 foolish. Now, let us observe first this foolish segment of the midnight crowd. The one thing that is said about them that distinguishes them from the wise is the fact that they had no oil within their lamps. Now, beloved, within the Scripture, oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. These 5 foolish virgins had no oil. Let us say that they were professing Christians. Let us say that no doubt they were church members. They looked like Christians. They attended the same worship service as Christians. They prayed the same pious prayers as Christians. They studied the same Sunday school lesson as Christians. They read from the same Bible as Christians. They sang the same songs as Christians. They gave in the same offering like some Christians. They went through the same ritual and ceremony of worship like Christians. In fact, and indeed, they were so much like Christians that it would be a difficult task to tell them apart. But beloved, may I remind you today that when God looks upon mankind, He doesn't look at the outward appearance or what seems to be or what man proposes to be. But God looks within the inner confines of the heart. Here are those who in every measure might be mistaken for Christians. But here is the difference. They had no oil. And the oil as a type of the Holy Spirit simply means this: that they had not the Spirit of the living God. And Paul declares in Romans 8:9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Beloved, I will stop here in my message with this very emphatic announcement. If you do not have the Holy Spirit of God living within your heart and within your soul and within your life today, you don't belong to Him. You're not saved. You're lost. You're eternally lost. You're hopelessly lost without Him and without His Spirit. Whatever else you might have, if you possess not the Holy Spirit in your life, you're not a Christian. They had no oil. They professed, but they did not possess. They had what we might call churchianity, but they fell far short of Christianity. They had subscribed to some creed, but they had never surrendered to the Christ of the living God. They had learned the catechisms, but they had never learned of the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. They had some connection with the church, but they had no vital relationship to Jesus Christ. Beloved, it is one thing to belong to the church. It is one thing to subscribe to the teachings of the church. It is far a different thing to belong to Jesus Christ. The five foolish ones had some kind of excitement over religion, but they did not have an experience with God. They had no oil. And I issue this warning that it is the business of Satan in this hour and in this age to deceive the masses and multitudes of people. For there are people of all religions all over the world today who are depending upon religion to get them to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one door and only one. There is just one way. And the devil has pulled the shade of deception, the religious shade of deception, the church shade of deception, if you please, over the minds and over the hearts of multiplied millions around the world who simply think because they have belonged to this organization or that, or they've experienced this or that, that all is well. But remember, the Bible says the foolish had no oil, and oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. Many today are blinded, and it is the business of Satan to do just that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 we read, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that is Satan, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The foolish were blind. They were lost. They were outside. They were unregenerate. They had not the Holy Spirit of God. Typical of so many today within the framework of the Christian world. But let us then observe the wise segment of this crowd at midnight. And verse 4 says, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They took the oil with them, that is, the Holy Spirit. They had within them, in type that Jesus is putting forth, they had the Holy Spirit. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 8 at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Beloved, if your life today is not directed by the Holy Spirit who lives within, you're on the outside. You're lost. You're without Christ if the Holy Spirit does not direct you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. These who were wise had an experience with God. They had had a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit had convicted them and convinced them of their sin. And they had opened the door of their heart, as it were, to allow Jesus Christ to come in. I ask you this morning. I ask you with Judgment Day sobriety. I ask you with Judgment Day honesty. I ask you as a dying man to dying people. Have you had that personal encounter with the Holy Spirit of God? The wise had it. It was with them not just a reformation. It was with them a regeneration. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul writes, not according to our works, not according to our righteousness, not according to our goodness, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Ghost. Beloved, if something hasn't transpired in your heart today, if you haven't felt something and experienced something of the Holy Spirit's moving in your heart, then I've this word for you. You best open the door of your heart and let Jesus Christ come in. For you have not the oil of the Holy Spirit. These had not had just a handshake. They had had a heart shake. You see, salvation is a heart matter. The prophet Jeremiah declares, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 21, for from within the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all These evil things come from within and defile the man. Salvation is a heart matter. For when God measures a man, he puts the tape not around his head, but he puts it around his heart. And Paul writes clearly in Romans 10, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. These people had had a heart shake and not a mere handshake. They had not just signed a card or a creed. They had signed up with Christ through his blood upon Calvary's cross. For them, it had not been just a baptism. It had been a birth, a new birth, a second birth, a birth from above. Jesus said to Nicodemus, a man who was a religious leader of his day, a man of intelligence, a man of integrity, a man of religion, Jesus said to him, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can it be? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, Nicodemus, you have been born once of flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, the humankind. You must be born again, for that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Born from above. That personal encounter with the Holy Spirit that we call the new birth. Have you experienced it? Has it been just a baptism with you? Or has it been a real birth by the Holy Spirit? You must be born again, Jesus said. They didn't just belong to the church, they belonged to Christ. They were not mere professors. They were genuine possessors. They could say with Paul, as I trust you can say today, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep all that I've committed unto him against that day. The foolish and the wise. And we read at midnight, verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. It was quiet in the street that night. The bridegroom tarried his coming, and they all slumbered and they slept. That brings me to my second area of thinking of this festival at midnight. There was not only a midnight crowd, but there was a midnight cry. And verse 6 contains that cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. They were all awakened. They all arose. They trimmed the lamps. And hear it. The foolish made a startling discovery. They had no oil. And so they said to the wise, give us of your oil. And the wise said, not so. Go and buy for yourself. And frantically, impatiently, restlessly, they ran forth to secure the oil. This brings me to my climactic point of this midnight festival. There was a midnight coming. For verse 10 reads, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were Baptist went in. No, it doesn't say that. And they that were Methodist went in. And they that were Presbyterian went in. And they that were Mormon went in. And they that were Protestant went in. And they that were Jew went in. And they that were Catholic went in. And they that prayed through went in. They that had held on went in. They that had endured to the end went in. They who were baptized went in. They who had learned the catechisms went in. They who had joined the church went in. No, 10,000 times no. The Bible says they that were ready went in. And how were they ready? One thing. They had the oil of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Beloved, that was the only thing that made the difference between the two segments of the wise and the foolish. The foolish had no oil. They were not ready when the bridegroom came. The wise had oil and they were ready when the bridegroom came. And to them, the Bible says, the door was open and they went in. And to all others, the door was shut. I read over in Noah's day, God said to Noah, come thou into the ark with all thy family. And Noah went in. And the door was shut. And beloved, the door that God shuts, no man can open. And the door that God opens, no man can shut. And the door was shut. When God shuts the door, there is no hand strong enough to pry it open. Let us suppose that here's an elevator going to heaven. And across the top of that elevator is this sign. For sinners saved by grace only. I look into that elevator and I see a battle-scarred man by the name of Paul who said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. But by grace I am what I am. I see a man in there by the name of Peter who cursed and swore that he knew not the Lord. But Peter was brought into the right relationship with Christ. Peter is in that elevator. Old John Newton, libertine and slave, infidel and slave of slaves in Africa. Old John Newton is in that elevator. I see old Jerry McCauley, the river rat of Chicago, saved in the Pacific Garden Missions, in that elevator. I see redeemed mankind from every age, from every race, from every creed, from every climate, from every country in that elevator, whose sign says, for sinners saved by grace only. A Jew steps up to the conductor. And the conductor bars the door. Ah, but he says, maybe you don't understand. I'm of Abraham's seed. And the conductor says, mister, it's not by natural birth. It's not by creed or heritage, but by grace. Men enter this elevator. You'll have to stand aside. A Baptist walks up. I'm a Baptist. Oh, I know, but you can't enter. This elevator says, for sinners saved by grace only. It's not the creed you have subscribed to. It's the Christ to whom you have surrendered. And on the parade goes. Methodist, Presbyterian, Protestant, Jew, Catholic, white, black, learned, unlearned, rich, poor, out of every dispensation. Then comes a publican who not as much as lifted up his eyes but smote upon his breast and prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the conductor said, step right in. For this elevator is for sinners saved by grace I'm glad when I was 11 years old, I stepped on board that elevator. For I was a sinner, but I was saved by the marvelous grace of God. You can step on board this morning through Jesus Christ. I want to remind you today that the door of opportunity is open. Tomorrow, it may be closed. I believe that we are living in the midnight hour of this generation. The mental breakdowns point to the end of this age. The moral breakdown, the affluent society, lawlessness, rebellion, all of these things. I heard just this morning, and I want to pass it along to you. One out of every six children in the state of Texas who has reached the age of 18, already on their 18th birthday, has a criminal record. That's one out of every six who have reached 18 years of age. What is more startling, one out of every seven school children in the state of Texas has experimented with either alcohol or dope or both. Somebody says, well, I just don't believe that. All right, you write the office of TANE, that's T-A-N-E, Texas Alcoholic Narcotics Education Association, and get the facts and figures for yourself. One out of seven students in the state of Texas experimented with either alcohol or dope or both. You heard the disturbing, tragic, upsetting, heart-rending news this morning that a three-year-old was rushed to a Dallas hospital with an overdose of LSD from the so-called pop concert that is out of the pit, that is filthy and rotten. A man told me from first-hand information that in the pop concert in New York, everything a man wanted to see was right there before his eyes. Open, unashamed, unblushing. I'm sure the same must have been true right over there. And that the human excrement and debris was 6 inches deep, where people who call themselves humans are living like animals. You heard about the hog that got drunk? And all the rest of the hogs ran off and left him. And when he came back, he said, if you'll forgive me this time, I won't act like man anymore. Beloved, we are living in the midnight hour. Somebody might say, but preacher, why do you get so excited? Because I believe the coming of Christ is soon. Amen. Because I know that men are dying without Christ. Because I know there's but one way of salvation, and that's the way of the cross. That's why I get excited. I would to God that you could share it with me. You know, there's something strange to me. People can sit in movies or sit before their television and weep and cry over some forlorn lost love of a divorcee in Hollywood, and they can't shed one tear over a lost soul going to hell. There's something wrong. We're living in the midnight hour, and Jesus Christ is coming. And our hope today, beloved, our hope is not in a stabilized economy. Our hope is not in the White House. Our hope is not in Austin. Our hope is not in the Supreme Court. Our hope is not in a balanced budget. Our hope is not in a stronger military might. Our hope is not in a nuclear stockpile. Our hope is not in Wall Street. Our hope is not in the stock market. Our hope is in Christ Jesus. My hope is built on Jesus Christ, on His blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Beloved, if you're looking for anything else or anyone else or any other party, any other practice, any other doctrine, any other creed but Christ, you're looking in the wrong direction. For Hebrews 9:28 says, unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without a sin offering unto salvation. We are not looking for things. We're looking for Christ. And he is coming. The cry was made at midnight. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Beloved, the midnight crowd is gathered. On the day that we least expect him, he's coming. It seems I can almost hear the midnight cry, resounding and reverberating all over the world. Behold, Jesus Christ comes. Be ready to meet him. Jesus will come, and the door will be shut. And in that day, church membership, learning the scriptures, memorizing the catechisms, baptism, good works, self-righteousness, to no avail. And the doctors are in the dim room and the lights are turned low and your fingernails are turning purple and perspiration of death is upon your brow. The only thing that's going to matter in that day, do you have the oil of the Holy Spirit? Do you have Jesus Christ in your heart? The scene at the door was a very sad scene. Listen to these words again. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered, I know you not. Saddest words in all recorded history. For Jesus Christ to say, he doesn't know you. Do you know him? He is known of his own. He knows his own. He calls them by name. He leads them in and out. Somebody said, but preacher, perhaps you don't understand. I've been brought up to believe this, and I've been brought up to practice this, but hear me when I say it. I'm not giving you Baptist doctrine just because we're in a Baptist church. I'm giving you Bible doctrine, and that makes it Baptist doctrine. Jesus said, Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter in, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. You and I are in the midnight crowd. We are either wise or foolish, saved or lost. The midnight cry is about to be made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And then is the midnight coming. Or it may be in the morning. It may be at noon. It may be at midnight. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long ere we shout the glad song. Christ returneth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He's coming. He's coming for his own. He's coming soon. Are you ready? You can be. By one simple step. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let us stand for our prayer. Heavenly Father, as we pause in the concluding moments of this worship service, we pray that the enthusiasm of the Holy Spirit might wreak and reel in every heart. Give us something to shout about. Give us something to feel. Give us something we can live by and something we can die by. And may we never be satisfied till that be ours. Heavenly Father, for those who are without the Savior, perhaps they are trusting church membership. Perhaps they are trusting some other person, some other medium, some church, some creed. Help them to trust Christ today. Help them to see that without Jesus Christ, it is impossible to get on that elevator that is going to heaven. Help them to see, Heavenly Father, without a personal faith in him, a new birth, a regeneration by the Holy Spirit, that there's no hope in this life nor in the life to come. Grant, O God, that those who are without him might come today and trust him. And whatever the needs are for salvation, for a prayer of dedication, for church membership, for whatever the needs might be today, may men and women and young people and boys and girls obey Jesus. And may those who are not ready be ready for the bridegroom to come. In His name we ask it, and for His sake. While our heads are bowed in prayer, we are not going to embarrass you. We are not going to put you on the spot. No one is going to pressure you into anything. If you are here today, and in your own heart, you know that you've never really trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Or you may be the finest sort of person, good, morally clean, honest, having integrity, having industriousness, having a high plane of life and a moral standard. None of these will avail. We search in vain by methods of our own. Dear Jesus, nothing but Thy blood can bring us to Thy throne. All of these other things are good, but they're not good enough. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart today and you're lost and you've never had this experience, maybe you've joined a church somewhere, maybe you've been baptized or sprinkled, maybe you've gone through the form, maybe you've signed a card or you've shaken the preacher's hand or you've turned over a new leaf. All of these are to no avail without the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your heart. Have you had that experience, that new birth, the regeneration by the Holy Spirit? If not, I invite you to come today. You don't have to say anything or sign anything or pledge anything. Just come as you are. Present yourself to Christ and ask Him to be merciful to your sinner, to save you, to regenerate you. He'll do it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. While you pray, while the choir sings, if God speaks to your heart, I want you to come today.